This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reiberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, welcome and thank you for joining me today. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reiberger, and today is my Conversations with Carol show. That means that I'm going to be taking questions and questions and questions using my intuitive skills, whether I'm just doing intuitive work with you or I'm using my medical intuition, meaning that we're focusing a little more on the physical body than just about your soul's purpose and what's going on in relationships. That's the intuitive part. I'm going to be answering your questions. So if you do have a question for me, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is U.S. and good in U.S. and Canada. And then also Canadian, international, but international callers, you can use the same number, 877-230-3062. Just enter your international calling code before. So today, Conversations with Carol's show. But what I do like to do is I'm going to be not only taking questions, but I'm going to talk about the energy. That's something that I do at the end of each month, and talk about the energy of the month that we just have been experiencing. And then this month, I'm going to be giving you a sneak preview into what's going to be happening in April as well. But I did want to let you know that I do have a new one-day class that I'm going to be offering in Eagan, Minnesota on May 3rd. The topic is on the celestial helpers, learning how to enter into conversations with them and understanding how they serve us. I actually received a channeled message when I was preparing for the class, and this channeled message was from the Celestial Helpers, and they said, "We are aware that you think you are alone and that you often feel like you have been forsaken, yet for not. Fear not. We are always there to help you, to support you, and to hold the sacred space so you may consciously fulfill your soul's purpose and live your heart's desire." So that was kind of the message that started this whole process to teach this class, because we know we have the guides, we know we have the helpers, the angels, and guides and angels are different. I actually discussed that in the class itself. They're different vibrationally, and they're different in the messages that they provide us, and they're different in how they hold the energy for us to be able to manifest our desires, whether it's relationship or jobs or health or money, whatever it may be. So I talk about the differences in the angels and the guides. I also talk about that hierarchical process in the universe to help you understand where the guides are and the types of messages, and then the angelic realm and the types of messages. So I really build kind of like a step ladder of the celestial helpers, and then talk about how you enter into conversations with them, and then also go back and help you understand how they bring those messages forward to you. And I had a reading yesterday with a woman, and she asked me, she says, "Carol, how do I know that it's my guides helping me and it's just not my brain, my brain trying to talk to me?" And so my answer was, based on the help I was getting from her celestial helpers in the reading, they said to me that when the helpers send you information, it's very very concise, it's not a lot of words. You have a sense of peace and calm within you. You can get goosebumps. They can use that, bodily sensations. You may start getting images that will come before your eyes. Maybe it's like being in a dream, lucid dream state when you're wide awake. But when it's the guides and angels talking to you, and you can differentiate, is that you can feel this sense of peace and knowing. When it's your brain that's talking to you, that human psyche, then what will happen is it will always repeat itself. There will always be the anxiety and stress associated with it. It won't be excitement. It'll be like this unspoken tension that's pulling you along, like you almost don't have any control over it. breathing changes, heart rate changes, repetition continues, and what sounds like it could have been a message from your guides and angels actually comes in, and it creates an anxiety that causes your brain to take even a firmer grip on your thinking, and it's just like a replay that's over and over and over. And the more it repeats itself, the more emotionally anxious we become, the more it brings up all of the inadequacies, the fears, the insecurities. The guides and angels never enter into that realm. Any of you who know me, who have had readings with me, you know that I never use the word never until it comes to the absolute. So that's one of the things I'm going to be talking about also in the classes. I'm going to be talking about truths and absolutes, because the universe works in truth and absolutes. In our humanness, we may not be really comfortable with absolutes, because we always like to have that little wiggle room, that gray area, to be able to work things through. However, when it comes to how the hierarchy of the guides and angels work with us, the way they communicate, and then also how they serve us in the natural order of things. They serve us in the absolutes. So if this is a class that you're interested in and you're anywhere over on the East Coast and you can get to Minnesota, all of my Minnesota friends there tell me that winter will be over by the time I get there, May 3rd, and which will be very, very good. I will really appreciate that. So we've got them working on a lot of the weather patterns. So it's going to be May 3rd in Eagan, Minnesota. You can go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and just click on the moving slide on the top of the homepage, Celestial Helpers. I do have an early bird special that's happening right now that goes until April 17th. So you can click on that, read about the class, see, make sure that it's going to, you know, either prick your curiosity or it's going to provide some of the answers that you're looking for, and then you can register online, and then I'll get to see you on May 3rd. So again, that's Ritberger, RITBERGER.com. What I always like to do is I'm going to start the show off by talking about the energy just briefly, because my lines are full, but please do keep trying, because I'm going to get through as many calls as I possibly can, 877-230-3062. But what I want to do is I want to talk about the energy of March, because the energy of March has been a very transitional energy. And one of the things that when I came back from my near-death experience, I remembered that my primary purpose on this earth, and everyone that I talked to somehow put into the conversation, to remember that we are energy first and we're matter second. And if we remember that, energy is very fluid, it works very quickly. There are no limitations or inhibit the energy and our desires, except for the quality of our thoughts. So when we learn to move beyond what in alchemy calls those ill thoughts, those thoughts that have fear and insecurities and not enough and coulda, shoulda, wouldas and all of the other judgments we have against ourselves, then what we do is we don't stop the process, we just slow the vibration down. So you are energy first and matter second. And the energy of 2014 is to heal on a higher level. And at its most simplistic form, what that means is look at what's happening in your life when your mind makes you feel like you're stuck. Look at what's happening in your life and look at it differently. Look at it energetically. Look at it through the eyes of your soul. So we ended 2013 getting rid of a lot of clutter, setting the plan in place for how we wanted to heal on a higher level in 2014. We entered 2014 in this pause where it was like, take a deep breath, let's contemplate, let's reflect, let's look at all the wonderful things that you accomplished in 2013, 2012, 2011, all the way back to 2008. Let's do that. Let's put together a dream of what you want to create in your new reality. Let's put a plan in place. And then when we moved into the middle of February, energy completely broke through. But it was interesting because the movement started forward mid-February, but we hit March 1st, and it literally was March 1st. We hit this tension. It feels like in March we took steps forward in this enlightenment and spiritual evolution, but we also felt that we were being pulled back. It's like one step forward, three steps back. And that transitional time is not a pause. It's not where we're not active, because we're extremely active, but it's a transitional time that in that pulling back, our humanist goes in and goes, see, it wasn't right. You're stuck. But from a soul's perspective, the pullback is take a step forward, stop. Let's look around. Is this where we want to go? The steps backward are evaluate. Evaluate. That's what the value of transition is. Evaluate where you are. When you evaluate where you are and it's a, yep, I'm on the right path. Boom. Take steps forward. Now the next steps may be 3, 4, 5, 6. Then you'll feel like you're being pulled back again. You haven't done anything wrong. It's like, wow, great progress. Are you where you still want to be? Does this path that you're on, is it going to manifest what you desire? And if it does, boom, you move into the energy that we're going to move into in April. So one of the things that I heard somebody say in the reading, one of my readings also, is, Carol, that March felt like it was fits and starts. It's like, oh, gosh, I feel so great. And then I come in and I'm not feeling great. It's like I wake up and it's like I'm agitated, then I'm fine. And then I'm agitated, then I'm fine. And when I get agitated, then I'm really angry and sad, and I don't know why I'm angry and sad, because I just woke up and everything's good, and then I calm down again. So that's the fits and starts of the energy, and what that's doing, the real gift of it, if you look at it from your soul's perspective, is that it's refining the desire to ensure that when you get to the desired outcome, it will be what you desire, so you can feel that personal satisfaction. But it's also a process of recalibrating our energy to be sure that we are letting go in the way that we need, where that not enough syndrome that most of us in our humanness experience is not actually holding us back. So the energy of March, transition. Hit the road running mid-February, hit this transition. We're all going, OMG, what's going on? I'm ready to go. I'm moving forward. Why do I keep coming back to this place that some people say I feel stuck? No stuck. The energy of 2014 is no stuck. The only place that we get stuck is in our thinking, but even 2014 is not going to let us stay stuck in our thinking. It's just going to say, look around. Where are you? And that's what March was all about. I do want to jump in and I do want to take some calls. I'm going to come back and talk about the energy in April, though, because the energy in April is going to be another step in that manifestation process. And it's going to be one that I kind of feel like when I talk to the guides and angels and ask for their help. And sometimes, honestly, I even ask for an intervention. The other day, it's like, hello, this is Carol calling. So all of the guides and angels up there, we're all doing great work on this earth, but we need an intervention right now. And April's going to be that intervention. So how's that for a tease? But I want to jump right in and let's start taking some calls. The lines are full. Hi, Barbara Ann. Hi, sweetie. How can I help you?
Oh, how you doing? Thank you so much for taking my call.
You are welcome.
Last November, I had an operation after a series of illnesses, and they found out that I had cancer. It's, to be specific, it was nodal marginal zone lymphoma, and
yes.
Unfortunately, they told me it was fourth stage, and I don't really think it's there's anything they can do for me at this point. So I was just wondering if there's any light you could shed on me, you know, as far as treatment. I mean, is there something maybe that holistic can offer me, because they said there's nothing they can do traditionally.
Yep. Yes, I will offer some things. But one of the things that you've got a great big giant angel that has been with you ever since you've been a little girl. This angel mm-hmm. seems to come to you whenever you get in places where you feel like you're trapped. That's where you are right now, sweetie. Understandably so. So the angel came in, and as you were talking, the angel said, okay, Carol, you can do that holistic part, but I want you to do this part first. So yeah. What the angel said is that she's actually presenting herself while she's androgynous. It is Archangel Michael. Which is androgynous, can flow in our images and energy, masculine or feminine, is presenting itself as feminine energy, because what it's asking you to do is it's asking you to connect with that soul part, that feminine energy part of you, that inherent healer that is within us in the DNA that allows the healthy cells to become healthier and the cells that are diseased to be able to quicken their natural maturation, their completion, so we can actually start seeing those cancer cells as dying more quickly than their natural lifespan is. And one of the things that she keeps saying to me is that in order to do this, and I just have to say it like it is, sweetie, in order to do this, if you see yourself from the perspective of your soul, you are not going to die. Now, that doesn't mean you may not shed your human body, but what she's saying is you are not going to die. You are an eternal soul that you will always live. You will always do your work, whether you're in light or whether you're in form. And if you see yourself always as a living soul and you can embrace that every moment in form and in light is a living aspect of who you are, then you will, your mind will stop fixating on the words that the doctor said, nothing we can do. And you'll approach this whole process from a soulful, spiritual, energetic way. And what you'll do is you'll rise above the cancer. That's what she keeps saying to me. You're going to rise above the cancer. And in doing that, you're going to get a completely different picture on how you're able to live each moment in that soulful, purposeful way. Now, she's saying more, but I've asked her to please hang on for a moment because I want to go in and I want to look at this holistically. The type of cancer that you have been diagnosed with in the nodes itself and in the sentinel nodes, which are kind of those real important nodes for healing, those are the nodes you want to really focus on. And what you want to do is, unlike other times when I talk to people, you don't want to see those sentinel nodes as being full of cancer, toxic dump site. You want to see those sentinel nodes as doing their job in protecting and healing the body and removing any waste byproduct of the cancer cells out of your body through your breath, through the pores of your skin, and through your urine. And you want to, each time, excuse me for my bluntness, but each time you go to the bathroom, it's like, well, be gone, all you cancer cells.
Visualize, okay.
Absolutely. Visualize that you, these nodes, these sentinel nodes, are doing all they need to, and they are clearing you of the cancer. Meaning they are clearing out the cancer cells. The other thing is that there's two places I pick up in your body. In the left arm, breast area, I have a concentration of lymph nodes that I can find the cancer. I have on the right side in the Peyer's patch down in toward the groin, they have sentinel nodes as well on the right side.
Your
soul is saying that what to do is, and is she's giving me very clear directions. I'm going to share them. And it is about visualization, but it's also about breathing in this color. What we would like to do, me and she, what we'd like to do is we would like you to breathe in teal, a beautiful turquoise, teal, emerald. You choose your color, sweet. And when you take in a breath, and we're going to be doing some mindfulness while we're doing this, we're seeing that breath come in that teal color through your nostrils, and we're watching it flood your entire body, and it's going down to the right side of the body in those nodes, in the sentinel nodes in particular, that's the intention, and it's flooding them with the highest vibration of healing that's possible, both in light and form. The next thing is that the next breath you take, you want to come in and choose a real pretty pink, fuchsia, magenta, full of vitality and light. Breathe that in the next breath. And when I should go back because it said, oops, Carol, go back. So you've breathed in this teal. You're putting it down in the right-hand side. When you exhale, you're seeing all those cancer cells going out through your breath, through your mouth. The next breath, you're going to take in this beautiful pink, fuchsia, magenta, you'll find your color. Breathe it in, visualize it going to the left part of your breast area underneath your arm, encasing that entire left breast, moving over a little bit into the right, not all the way to the arm, underarm, but see that beautiful pink and that self-compassion. And what the angel is asking me to say to you is, do not hold yourself hostage to the belief that you did something wrong for this to happen.
Okay. Well, I know what you're saying and everything, and I feel like I am going to, I'm not sure how much time I have left.
You've got, you know what? You've got all the time with me. This is you and me.
That's okay, honey. I know. I'm intuitive myself, and I am.
I know you are.
I read between the lines. Yeah. I had so many things, but, I guess I did really want to, hear your take on it. And
exactly.
If there was anything, I guess there really isn't, you know.
There is things that you can,
okay.
There are
not
things
gonna be
that
any.
You can do.
Yeah.
There are things. So having said that, I couldn't move beyond until I brought the message from the angel. There was no way it was not going to let me do that. So going into the next part of it is that, are you doing any kind of lymphatic massage?
I'm not doing anything right now. Actually, there's a couple of reasons why I'm not really sure I really want to be here anymore. I've had a rough life, and a couple of things have happened to me, which I really can't go into on the air. And
exactly.
You understand. You totally understand. You could probably read me.
I can.
So many things, and I just want to save my house and go in my home, really. I don't want to be homeless, so there's a lot of stuff going on right now. So
absolutely.
That's what I'm praying, yeah.
Yeah,
I know
so,
you're not the right person, and I know this is not the right time because I know you have a lot of people on the air. But if there's anything else you want to tell me, that's
okay. So you know what? This is just you and me and the angel, honey. All my listeners are fine. So the thing is, let's take time for you. Let's take time to do this. So from a standpoint of the physical part, I am going to give you a couple of things because if I don't, your brain is not going to let you go. It's going to hang on. The fear is going to be there. That compounds the problem, understandably, where you are. I'm not trying to diminish that by any means. But so the lymphatic massage is very, very effective in helping the lymph system move the waste that's created from the cancer, and then also if there's any kind of, in some people's cases, with chemo. So that's one thing. The other thing is that it would be very worthwhile for you to experience craniosacral, and the reason for that is it will re-stabilize the cerebral spinal fluid. It will take away the anxiety and fear in the physical body and that stress that you're experiencing that is creating the perfect environment for cancer to be able to continue to take hold of you.
Okay.
So those are the two things that come forward. The fact of whether you're in, and you are in the decision, I'm going to validate that, you are in the decision of whether you want to stay and go. I've got to give you both sides because it's your choice. And that's all I can say. It's your choice. You can go anytime you desire, sweetie. Any of us can, whether we have cancer or not. But you don't want to go with your mind wondering, did I do everything I can? So those are two things to try. So in this particular part, I'm sorry, all of a sudden I kind of lost hearing you. So what I may do, what I'm going to do is what I can do. I am going to surround you with light and love. I'm going to hold you in that space while you're making your decision. I am going to call in all of the angels and guides that I work with. We're going to hold that space for you. You will make that decision in the next week as to how you want to move forward. And once you do, then either way will work exactly as it's designed. That's the best I can do, sweetie.
Okay. All right.
And you're right. You are very intuitive.
Okay.
So lots of validation there. All right.
Thank you. Thank you so much. God bless.
You are welcome. All right. I want to go in and I want to take commercial break right now. I want to come back in just a few minutes. I'm taking calls. The callers on the line, please stay on the line. I'm going to talk about the energy of April 2014. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing. What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green? Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
Well, welcome back. If you're just joining me, the topic of today's show is Conversations with Carol. And what that means is that I'm taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about the energy, you have a question for me about your health, relationships, I'm good for anything other than what are you going to be when you grow up? I haven't figured that out myself, so I can't quite detach the way that I need to. But anyway, you can call me at 877-230-3062, and that number is good for U.S. Canadian and also international callers, 877-230-3062. I would like to just share with you just a brief moment of what is going to be taking place in the month of April energetically. I talked about March being this transition time, if you're just joining me on the show, about being a transition time where you kind of feel like you're taking a step forward, maybe a couple of steps back or a few steps back. All those steps back are as asking you, stop, take a deep breath, look around, evaluate. Are you where you want to be? Are you moving forward? The energy of April is going to enter a phase where we are going to be truly letting go. And that letting go, while we think of letting go, we think about surrendering. What this energy is, it's about closure. It actually begins April 23rd, and it runs through all of May, and this closure window that we're going to have, this portal for closure, is going to go until June 2nd. And what that closure is going to do is that closure is going to ask us to, in our experiences, we're going to actually experience it, where manifestations and desires that we had maybe a month ago, a year ago, or 2 years ago, they're just going to close. They're just going to be done. And that's what the closure is. It's done. And it isn't about resurrecting it. It isn't about revisiting. It's done. Check it off the list. And even if it isn't what you manifested that you actually desired in its completeness and authenticity, check it off the list. The real value of closure is that it gets rid of the minutiae in the human psyche, all of the fears and insecurities, coulda, shoulda, wouldas, all of the disappointments that we have. It gets in and it actually starts to clear all of those aspects through that energy of closure, clears it, and it makes space for new beginnings. So from April 23rd to June 2nd, what you're going to do is you're going to find maybe relationships ending. Maybe friends are going to be transitioning. Maybe a job that you can't stand is going to go away. The purpose of the closure is when we start getting this closure happening, then it triggers a part of the brain, that creative part of the brain, that starts in the manifestation of new desires. It creatively gives us ways to be able to see ourselves, that sense of self, our identity, and then also how do we want that new reality to be. And creativity, for example, if the closure is a job, you're going to know in the first part of April, you're going to get those indicators that, hey, my job may be on the line. And if you understand the energetics, then you can say, okay, if it does get on the line and I do lose it, what can I do? What's plan B? And that's what's going to be taking place the first part of April. You're going to be looking for a lot of plan Bs, and the closure is going to happen, and you're going to initiate plan B, which is now plan A, and it's going to create and trigger off this whole kind of an avalanche of new beginnings. So closure in the human psyche is really difficult for it to handle because it has such an absolute energy about it. And if the mind doesn't think that it did everything, dotted every I, crossed every T, then what it's going to do is it's going to try to keep us where we were, and that's not possible. So closure is closure. It's new beginnings. It's ending, old patterns. And what it's doing is it's not really the letting go. You've been doing all of that, surrendering. You've been doing all that. It's like done, ta-da, done. So that's the energy that we're going to take at that point in time. All right, so let's go ahead and jump back in. Let's take Debbie from Salt Lake City. Hi, sweetie.
Sorry, Carol. Did I grab your throat or something?
No. Well, you know what, sweetie? I'm not sure it was you or it was a couple of other people that I have on the line. So how's that? All my other callers on the line could have been you, too. But you could relate, but I'm not sure it was you, sweetie. So thank you. Excuse me for this. I went in immediately. It's like, oh, my gosh, is this mine? Is it somebody else? Is this mine? Is it theirs? And it's like, oh, no, it belongs to somebody else. Okay, I'm cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, how can I help you, darling?
Well, your caller before, I'm so glad you told her, I can wait. I can call another time because she's picking up on all these people, you know. Bless her heart. I just started crying.
Mm-hmm. So did I. I cried in the break time. But if my listener for my first caller is still listening, and for all of you, my producer and I were chatting, and so I said, oh, my gosh, I'm going to cry. And I said to her, I'm not crying because I'm sad about what the caller is looking at in her decision. Mm-hmm. I'm sad because she gets to go home, and mm-hmm. I touch the other side, and I touch that grace. And I, to this day, 30-some years later, keep saying to myself, when it gets tough, why did I come back? Come on, remind me. Why did I come back? What's going on? So when I touched her in this time that she's in right now, I thought, oh, my gosh, it made me so happy with tears that she's going to get to go home. And it was just it was just a different way to look at it. But anyway, but all of our tears are very helpful for her. So thank you, sweetie, for doing that. So now about you.
Well, I'm just a little concerned because my cardiovascular system, when I chew, it's I can hear my veins. I guess I've lost a lot of weight. Maybe the fat insulation. I can hear my veins in my head. I can actually hear my heart beating in my head.
Right, right. That's true. That's true, because what you're doing is you're hearing the blood flow through the carotid arteries getting up into the head. You're also hearing that pulmonary aorta that basically is going into the lung area and then the descending aorta that goes down into the body itself.
I'm concerned. I'm getting a lot of emotions coming up, too. I'm getting narrow view. I'm getting a lot of stroke energies, but might have come from me surrounding those when my mom had her stroke.
Okay, so let's take that. I'll deal with it physically. I will do that, sweetie.
Okay.
What if it is any emotions and perceptions that you had when you were helping your mother that you are still carrying her energy? Do you know how to get rid of that?
I've been trying. I've been using every... It just passes through me very... I've got to stop surrounding... What do I think I'm helping when I surround people's emotions to try to calm them down, and then I pull them into myself, or I make a copy or something? I don't know.
Yeah, well, you're empathic. Every one of us is empathic. Some of us are very empathic to the point where we have to become consciously aware we're empathic. You connect with people emotionally. I mean, honey, you and I can go to a grocery store or be sitting on a park bench or something, and I'm going to feel their energy and connect with them. You're going to connect with them emotionally.
But why do I pull it into my fascia?
Because it's the way it works. So what we do is, in when you are emotionally empathic, you pull that emotion in, you breathe it in, to be able to take your experiences and your emotions to relate to it for the purpose of expelling it and for the purpose of helping them in the healing process. We can be empathic and be bombarded, but if we don't have something that anchors it with us, we don't know how to act with it. We don't know how to help people. You're a healer. You're here to be of service to people. You're going to bring it in. You're going to breathe it in.
But I don't want to do this anymore.
Well, I know that conversation because I get to do this all the time. And I have this conversation. So what I have learned is that when I feel energy and it causes me to become, I'm going to call out of sorts. Sometimes it goes to extreme agitation. I come in and I go, is this mine? Is it theirs? Instantly.
Yeah.
Anytime.
I have a hard time deciphering that. And sometimes it'll be 4 years later that it comes up, but after I've already encapsulated it.
But what you do is you ask that. You ask it, you ask it, you ask it. You program the brain in your body to become so heightened in its sensitivity. You ask, is it mine? Is it theirs? If it's yours, then your body will relax, and then it will go into that natural healing, purging, restoring, all the things that the body and the mind is designed to do. If it's theirs and you continue to hold it, you're going to have ways that is going to surface for you to become acutely aware this is not yours. Don't hold it in.
Well,
and how do you do that? Breathe it out, sweetie. Spit it out. Cough it out.
Okay. What is the deal, Carol? Is the main thing that I think is my main problem is that you have an ability to know in your head quicker. I'm just barely getting that from connecting with you. So I need spirit to go in and touch the part of me that will register in my brain, oh, there is an emotion here, and I know what it is. And is it, to see, it doesn't register. I'm kind of an unconscious empath.
Okay.
Kind of.
So let's do that. So how it registers to you is in your heart.
Okay.
You're here to help people find their sense of self, develop their self-esteem, love themselves, not for what they do, but who they are. You're a heart healer. You teach people to come back to their heart. So when that energy comes in, you're connecting to that emotion heart to heart with them. Your heart and your breathing, the lungs, that's the life force. That's the force that our soul uses to be able to interact with the outer world.
Stop
we pull
resisting
the outer
and
word
holding
out.
My breath.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that's what you do.
Yep.
If it's theirs, send them love through your heart. Don't hold your breath. Breathe. Consciously breathe. That's mindfulness. Consciously breathe. And what that will do is it will teach you how to be a vessel, a channel, where you connect with them at that level. That's who you are. That's not going to go away.
Okay. Might as
comes
well
in.
Accept it.
Absolutely. And then that is yours.
Sorry.
That's okay. I started to take the next step, and your soul goes, no, hang in there a little bit longer, Carol, and don't move forward so quick, because she doesn't want to move forward that quick, because part of your process is learning to do this. So, deep breath, it's back. Do you do Reiki?
Well, you've suggested it before, but I think it was because of the people that I met that knew Reiki that I didn't feel like that I started not trusting Reiki, but I think it was just because of the people that were presenting it.
Absolutely. So get them, learn, you know, go in and learn about it. And the reason I come back, excuse me, I didn't realize I was going to be a broken record multiple shows, but here I am again. The only reason for understanding Reiki is, honey, it's subtle energy medicine. It cleans out the vibrational congestion, the impurities, the blockages that we have in the energy field. And in doing that kind of healing work, then everything restores itself back into that healing mode.
See, I was afraid of who they were connecting to. And like I said, I had more results from a female that was just a housewife that had more love. And I didn't get any results from these Reiki masters back when I met them at a seminar.
Excuse me, real quick. I want to jump in because you said a real powerful word, love.
Yeah.
If you don't feel the love, they're not the right people.
I might as a soul, but I don't feel love. I don't even feel like I love people well enough.
Well, that's another whole thing you and I can talk about because it's our personality, sweetie. And it's not that we don't. It's just that love is global and it's like, oh, my God, well, this is love and that's love. And, well, that's not love and love, love, love. So it goes on.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So what you do is you connect with when you feel the emotions, connect with your own self-love.
Okay.
Is it mine? Is it theirs? If it's theirs, breathe it, expel it out.
Okay.
You came in, you got the information. In the subtle energy medicine of Reiki and learning to use it yourself, and it's subtle energy, when you breathe in someone's emotion and it's incoherent with yours, and it's out of sync with yours, your heart will express itself in a way, because that's where the seat of the soul, will express itself in a way like, whoa, hey, you're hanging on, let go, whether it's arrhythmia, whether it's hearing the breathing, whatever else. So that is very true. The other thing is your brain is actively engaged in this and it is afraid and understandably so. So let's just accept that is real and it is exactly what your brain is designed to do. So have you seen a cardiologist?
No, it's just started recently and
So the most important part from that physical part is we've got to give your brain something that it will stop awfulizing, as we call it, in the psychological world. And I encourage you to see a cardiologist.
Okay. Am I got like a narrowing? Am I maybe
no,
a food?
No. Yes. Absolutely it is.
Food allergies?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Oh,
yes,
God.
It is.
I can't hardly eat anything anymore. And so now I started on dairy. And now it's like I'm going to have to go off the dairy, too, and only eat vegetables.
Well, honey, what's causing you to be allergic to yourself?
I don't know. I'm allergic
I
to
do.
Half. I'm allergic
I do. I do. Hello. All your guides and angels, we're up here going, hello, we do. So don't be allergic to being empathic.
Oh, I'm just all my resistance to it.
Just, it's there, okay, it's there. Just don't be allergic to it.
Do I have to get off dairy or I just need to stop being resistant to being, for all
my allergies? Why don't you do dairy, get off dairy for a short period of time? Why don't you get off dairy for 5 to 7 days and see if you're any better?
Okay.
And as far as the cardiologist, the only reason I suggested that is that you can deal with someone who's knowledgeable, someone who will run the test. It'll give your brain what it needs so it just says, you know, I just need to get over myself and stop this.
Okay.
So that's it. Yep. So just try the dairy part and then stop being allergic to your being empathic.
Yeah, I resist it. I don't want to do it.
Well, I know that one really well because I did a reading the other day on someone and taking on energy, and we were dealing with a gastritis. And I don't have gastritis. I've never had any indicators in it. And 10 minutes after I hung up the phone with her, I've got gastritis. What?
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden I'm thinking, oh my God, this is gastritis. It's every symptom I just talked about. And then I went in, it's like, okay, deep breath, because I was getting afraid. It's like, did I eat something wrong? Blah, 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 blah. And it's like, is it mine? Is it hers? And my soul said it's hers. It's like, oh, okay, well, you know, love you. But here, I want you to take this and let's, universe, not her, take this and get rid of it. And it instantly went away, honey.
Okay.
I've been doing this for 30 years and I still get there.
I see.
It's all an evolution, darling.
All right.
So, So anyway, so yes, stop the dairy if you need to get your brain to stop awfulizing, see a cardiologist.
Hey, come get all the yogurt I have in my fridge.
Don't get rid of it. Just be sure. Just don't do it for a while. Are you doing digestive enzymes? Did we talk about that?
Oh, I did a while back ago, and then I've ran out. So
yeah. Okay, so what you really have is that you have, it's just anxiety.
Okay.
You're just anxious right now. It's
oh,
like
I thought
everything.
I've always had low blood pressure, and I thought, Jesus, my blood pressure gone up like crazy.
Yeah. No. Yeah, yeah. You're just, when you get in that awfulizing, you're just like this little top that's spinning all over everywhere.
Oh,
is it mine? Is it theirs? Yeah.
Despair, everything.
Absolutely. Oh, well, there's the emotion of your mother. Sweet.
Yeah, well, anybody that has a stroke is going to have despair. Oh, crap, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe you're to help heal people with despair. Who knows? Anyway, thanks, Debbie. Really
right,
appreciate it,
you.
Sweetie. You are welcome. All right, so let's take Jamie. Hi, Jamie.
Hi.
How can I help you, honey?
Hi, Carol. Thanks for taking my call. I was diagnosed during my third pregnancy with a blood disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And it's low platelets, so it's a severe bleeding risk. And
correct.
Yeah, so I'm just kind of... I'm really nervous about it. It gives me a lot of anxiety. But I'm also trying to heal it naturally.
Okay.
Without taking any of the really strong drugs that they use.
Right.
Yeah, so I have two questions, really. The main thing is I want to know why I got it. And
okay.
The second thing is, what can I do about it?
Okay. So the main thing, the main reason that you got it is if you... go back into your other two pregnancies, your liver has always been, I'm going to call it kind of what I call your boogaboo place.
Uh-huh.
And if we can go back even when you were a teenager, I can pick up some low energy at that point in time. Maybe mm-hmm. feels like it had to do with iron deficiency, mm-hmm. maybe even a little bit of anemia. So mm-hmm. what you're experiencing is a liver thing.
Okay.
And when you're going in and you, with your first two pregnancies, what it did is it taxed the liver, and then the third one just kind of took that liver and put it to a tipping point.
Okay.
It's like it's making platelets. It's just not making enough, and they're not really formed.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that I can help you with is that the platelets, if you go in and you were to Google red blood platelets,
mm-hmm.
you will see that they have kind of oddities in their shape, but they have a specific kind of size
yeah.
that they should be. You want to visualize your liver making those platelets in that size.
Okay.
And that it has the coagulation factor, like all the platelets can come together the way it needs to, so you can use that. The other thing you could do is you could work with someone. For the first thing I want to do is to encourage you to work with someone who does Chinese medicine.
Okay.
We have to be a little bit careful of the herbs that you initiate in your body. They need to be done slowly, but that can help you.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that you may want to work with a homeopath. Because they would be able to understand how to use the remedies to be able to reestablish the way that the liver needs to be, plus doing some liver cleansing. And please don't do a liver cleanse, but the homeopathic remedy would. You could work with someone who is an integrative medicine doctor who actually has MD training behind them. That would be very valuable for you to find, because that way you get the medicine perspective and the holistic perspective. The concern with this, when I go down deeper, is that this isn't going to turn around and that it's going to lead to something bigger and worse.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to say it like leukemia. That isn't the case.
Okay.
We just need to focus the energy on the liver.
Okay.
And, just do whatever you can. The liver loves green, reds, orange, yellow, fruits and vegetables. And it loves greens, and to work with it that way. And you may want to, when you work with someone, ask about spirulina, some different things that you can do. That's why an integrative medicine doctor feels like it would be a value, because there would be some understanding of nutrition, and there's some things that you can do. This feels to me like it's a temporary situation. I'm going to go out on a limb to say that.
Okay.
Temporary doesn't mean that you're going to wake up tomorrow and it's going to be gone. But your body, since I picked it up earlier in your life, your body does know how to go back and create a set point, and your liver does know how to do this. And my sense is that that's going to be able to be a value that your body is trying to put it back to the point where it can handle what it needs to in that coagulation. You might also want to talk to whoever you do about what can you do to visualize coagulation. You might want to work with someone with guided imagery, hypnotherapy. That's very, very powerful in this kind of situation. And then look, because what we need is we need that that coagulation. That's, we need the red blood cells in the shape, size, the sedimentation of it, but we also need the coagulation.
Okay.
But it does feel temporary, and I you know, if I gave it a knee jerk with it, maybe at the longest a year, that's what it feels like. I don't know why I say that. But that's how it feels to me.
Okay. That's wonderful.
Are you working with a hematologist?
I am, yeah.
Good.
He's not really able to work with me when I'm using alternative therapies.
Correct.
He's allowing me to without pressuring me into using
good
conventional drugs. But yeah, and I also work with a nutritionist who orders some
perfect
more comprehensive blood tests so I can look at a bigger picture. And so I'm able to monitor my platelet count that way too. Frankly, I get really kind of depressed going into the hematologist's office because a lot of people are there for much more serious conditions.
Right.
And it sort of gives me, that's kind of where some of the anxiety comes in.
Absolutely. And one of the things that you might do, sweetie, is you might give yourself a time frame in your mind that you will try these things and then monitor it. And if you're not seeing the progress, to go back to the hematologist. And the only reason I'm saying that is so you can keep him in the loop of what's going on. So then he can grow and expand his perception and not be set in his ways that one size fits all, that no matter what you're dealing with, this is the protocol, this is a regimen, this is the dosage. You have an opportunity to help him grow and expand his perception of how to deal with this where it's not a one size fits all.
Okay.
So that's part of your work also, is that you're an inherent teacher.
Okay.
And open up the opportunity. But it just doesn't feel to me like this is lifelong, and it doesn't feel like it's that it's going to be something that's going to get worse. You heard me take a deep breath. That was the child that just came into the field.
Mm-hmm.
And so this child, when came in the field, it's like, well, hi. Mm-hmm. And this child feels like 8 years old, which I know isn't. 8 years old, and it's like, hi, Carol. So what can I do to help my mom? Because, you know, she really gave me a lot when she was carrying me, and there were times that she really pushed herself, and she was tired, but she didn't do the things. What can I do to serve her as well? This child has got a heart that is full of play and laughter and fun and bouncy and energy, and you just gave... It feels like a her. Is that true?
My last baby was
yes.
a boy, actually.
Oh, feminine, beautiful feminine energy. I didn't know that. I go by energy.
Mm-hmm.
But full of bounce, full of wisdom, full of knowledge, and wants to give back to you. So when you look at this beautiful little being in the eyes and you can feel this bubbly all over that I can feel, mm-hmm. then what we're doing is we're feeling... filling you back with energy that can restore your vitality like you were willing to give this child to come into this earth with his vitality.
That's nice.
Okay. So that can help too.
Thank you so much.
You are very, very welcome. All right. So energy, oh my gosh. You know, just take it like it is. If you start finding things closer with closure and you get that anxiety and everything, take a deep breath and just look at how you've been asking for that closure. And it just, the universe is just providing exactly what you were asking for. And again, remember that closure makes space for new beginnings. There's such something absolutely that you have, we all have within us. And that's an inherent knowing when something is done. And when what we manifest reaches the end of its road, that human part of us doesn't recognize it consciously until we can feel that loss. Oh my gosh, it's done. Oh, I don't want it to be done. I'm still working on it. When you get the closure, it is done. And if I may ask each of you to go in, and when you have the closure, take a deep breath, look at the closure, and feel good about the fact that it's done. This may be difficult if it's the loss of a job or a loss of a relationship, but in that process, feel good that that part is done. And now there's new beginnings that you can walk into. Thank you very much for the show. Thank you, all of my callers. How heartfelt this was. Certainly a time of the energy. I send you lots of light and love. And I'm going to see you next week on the radio. Have a wonderful week.
You've been listening to the Carol Ryberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.